Today's daf is Baba Basra, daf Tzadi Dalet, and we are on Tzadi Gimel Amibes. I was just asked to announce that there's an amazing worldwide project going on to learn all of Shas Bavli on Yom HaZikaron next week, www.lekadoshim.org. Everyone can feel free to take part in this worldwide Klal Yisrael project in order to learn L'Zecher L'Kadoshim, those who have given their lives for Klal Yisrael. So that is to learn it on Yom HaZikaron, signing up for any daf in Shas that is still open, lekadoshim.org. Okay, so now we are on Tzadi Gimel Mabez, the Mishnah. We continue the issues relating to Mechira and what is sold and what is umdinas that people are understandably sell with the items and not. So here we go. Hamocha beres lachavero, hareze, mekaba alav, rova, tidofes lesa'a. If somebody sells fruit to their friend, they are mekabel. They are implicitly mochel. They allow themselves to buy, right, let's say I buy grain. I know that it's not going to be 100% grain. There are going to be some impurities. There's going to be some inferior items. There might even be some dirt in some cases in there. But I assume that when I buy a certain amount, so then there's a certain percentage that exists in the item. So if somebody sells fruit to their friend, Hariza Makabalov, what does he accept upon himself? Rova Tinofes, Lissa'a. A quarter of a kav of tinofes, of inferior, for every sa'a, which is, right, there's six kav to every sa'a, so a quarter of a kav is 1/24 of a sa'a. So 1/24 of a sa'a, we assume, is the amount that people accept. Te'enim, if somebody is buying or selling figs, mekabel alav, eser mitula'os lameya, 10 spoiled ones, mitula'os lameya, for every hundreds. Rashbam says, or chayu bahachi. That's the derech. V'hu adin achas l'eser. Doesn't only mean 10 to 100, it means 1 out of 10. It means 10%. We'll get back to that. Martef shel yayin. What about a martef, a storage house of wine? Mekabel alav, eser kosisos lameya. 10 barrels that are becoming sour, that are in between the wine and vinegar. So again, 10%. Kankanim besharon, mekabel alav, eser pitasos lameya. Also, 10 for out of 100 in kankanim in Sharon. Rashbam quotes Ba'oso Malchus. So first of all, the Rambam says, and the Rif says, the Rambam writes in Ilchas Mechira, that this is all if there is no prevalent custom that is accepted by everybody. If there is a prevalent custom, then forget any of these shirim. These shirim aren't halacha Moshe Mesinai. It's just that this is what is usually accepted. Chazal did their research and understood. Says the Rambam, though, in Perek Yud Ches Halacha Yud Beis, Ve'ein kol elu dvar mamurim ela b'makam she'ein lahem minhag. Ava b'makam she'esh lahem minhag, hakol k'minhag ha'medina. Right, if there is a minhag, then everything goes by the minhag ha'medina. Right, there's no magical formula to these shiurim. Or is there any significance to this shiurim? Nobody's going to argue on that Rambam, that wherever the minhag ha'makom is, that's what you go by. But is there any significance to the shiurim mentioned in the Mishnah? So there is probably the most quoted Mishkanes Yaakov in his Svarim that there is, the Karliner, or Yaakov Mikarlin, in the Mishnah's Yaakov, it is two volumes. So he has one tshuva that many of the Achronim quote, in Yeradei and some in Yud Zayin, where he says, how much is miyut hamatsui? Sometimes you have to be nervous about a miyut, choshesh lemiyut, but only miyut hamatsui, not a miyut she'eino matsui. So how much is a miyut hamatsui? How much is a miyut that you have to deal with sometimes? So he says 10%. That's his yisod. Miyut hamatsui is 10%. Where does he get that from? This Mishnah. This Mishnah, where he talks about 10% is a miyut that you understand is there, but you're mochel, right? More than that, more than these amounts, then it would be too much. But that's where he gets it from. V'tarti ani b'libi limso yosher divrei emes. It's on page Vav. Reish Vav. Yeah, Reish Vav in my edition. He says, Umika midi dilo remizi b'masnisa u'braisa v'yagati u'matsasi. And he quotes our Mishnah elsewhere and the Mishnah here, and he says, he quotes quoting Mishnah elsewhere, that whenever you sell something, you have to make sure and check that it didn't spoil yet or not. You have to assume, because there is a miut of items that spoil as you sell them there in their storage room, so you have to be nervous about that miut. And then he says, "Upuk chazi kamashir kiditan bababa basra." Hamochal yain lechaver mekabel of eser kosasos lemeya pirish eser chavios yain ra sherecho chometz should came directly he matze b'martiv shal yain. It's the derech to find 10%. Kidem mashakasav harash bamzal v'chein b'chol inach gavi teinim matlios shmamina de tvei mehacha lav arach ara lehiskalkel v'lo asik adaiti lekabel. More than that, it's not the derech to become ruined, and the person buying doesn't have the as to accept more than that. Hari lahedya shir yayin amiskalkel uchelik asiri mehatov. The amount of wine that is natural to spoil is 10%. The gamze eino rak reach chometz ubeemes chimis yain husimin klala. He continues v'yafilu hachi chashvina lemiut hamatzui lahatzrach bedika acharav avti ikaruba v'chazaka lehetera lo sabchina alayu bay bedika. So he puts a couple of Mishnahs together, including our Mishnah, to tell us that that's the shear of Miyat HaMasui, 10%, which comes up in many other areas of halacha, if you have to be choshesh for the Miyat. Give you one other example, totally different context, but the Rashba brings it up. The Rashba in a Tshuva, Rashba has thousands and thousands of Tshuvas. So in Chelek Aleph, Tshuva 1056, Aleph Nun Vav, he has the following case. Hanosein ma'os lechavero, lichtov lo sefer Torah, v'nimsu bo toyos. I hired a sofer to write a sefer Torah, and he wasn't perfect. He had some mistakes in it. V'tzorach liskor, and me sheyagi osam. I have to hire somebody else. Maybe the original sofer is not around anymore, or somewhere else. I have to hire somebody to edit that to fix it. So, is the first sofer responsible? Is it his fault? Imheim toyos. It says the Rashba. Imheim toyos she derech hasofrim l'taus bekach. If it's normal, is any sofer perfect? Not one mistake. Right nowadays, we have the computer checking. Right, check it out. But let's say you didn't have a computer checking. Right, so is the sofer perfect? So he says, if it's the derech of the sofer to make certain amount of toyos, ain't a sofer chayev klum? Sha'af al pisha nosein most lichtov lo sefer Torah. I'll say for Torah kosher hu nosein. Even though when you hire a sofer, you're hiring to write a kosher sefer Torah. The kosher chaser os achas ain't kosher. And if it's missing one letter, it's not kosher. Mikom akom toyos hanim sos bichsav shchichi. The Eilach HaSofer, she daktik b'ksiv haso, kol kach shavo yitek klal. Says the Rashba, is going to have a sofer that's not going to make any mistake. V'chein kayotzi b'zeh, min hastam, ein das bailim lahakpid v'chulei machle. And mistama, the bailim are also mochel, the normal amount of mistakes that are made. Not more, but the normal amount is, I expect. Umiyu, he says though, v'imta kol kach she'ein derech HaSoferim l'ta'o s'chayef. If it's beyond the minimum amount that sofer usually make the mistake, then he's going to be responsible. Because that would be the sofer's fault. You read this Gemara, you don't think it has anything to do with our lives. This Mishnah. The Rashba brings it in. The Rashba says it has to do with safras. The Ihu da Ariv, the Kiva da Ariv, Katsua Rabbana the Bakuli de Mishlam, as we'll see on the next daf, Bez Hashem. If it's more than this, then you have to be choshes that it was his mistake, or he did it on purpose. The Kol Shagainim Tabo Kol Kachshi, possible a Sefer Lagamre. And surely, if the Sefer Torah is basically unfixable, then for sure he's going to be responsible. That's not his, that's not acceptable. Kvosha Amar Shtaim, Yitaki, Shalosh Yiganis. There are certain types of mistakes that aren't fixed. Ukayotze Bezelafisha Ein Zeha Sefer Kasher, because this is not acceptable. But that is the Rashba in Tshuva Aleph Eleph Nun Vav. So that's where he brings in our Mishnah in a Halacha Lamaisa context. Okay, we continue. So says the Gemara now. Tani Rav Katina, says Rav Katina. So what exactly is mixed in? So we assume when we read the Mishnah says tinofes and impurities and items that are inferior. So what exactly is meant? So Tani Rav Katina, Rova Kitnios, Kitnis L'Sa'ah. For every Sa'ah of grain that is sold, Rova Kitnis, we assume that there is a quarter of a kav of Kitnis, of legumes. Kitnios in the grain. That's what the chashash is. So if Katina reads different than the Mishnah, right? Or what does tinofes mean? Look at what the Rashbam says in the bottom. Har rova tinofes demas nisan, lav ba afruris mairi. We're not talking about afruris. We're not talking about dirt that gets big. Tinofes means some type of impurity. So what Rav Katina is being mechadish in the Brisa is that it's not dirt that we're worried about. The afruris rova lamachalinish. That's a lot of dirt. Rova vakav, we don't think there's going to be so much dirt. Person's not mochal that much. Ela rova kitnis shel tefua. But we know in the granary, there are different items that are put next to each other. There's grain, there's legumes, there's other things. So therefore, that's what's understandable. If I buy wheat, then I know there's going to be some corn, there's going to be some other legumes, whatever is included in kitnis, as we'll get to in a second. But that's what Rav Katina is machadesh. Rova kitnis lisa'ah. That is what is included. If he says that, actually, we'll wait there. We'll talk about it now. So this, obviously, is one of the bases for the minug that we all know in Yoni Pesach, right? It's quoted in the Beis Yosef, based on the Rishonim already, based on the Smak, and based on other Rishonim, that the minhag is that even though the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Psachim that there are only five grains, the Chameshes Mine Dagon can become matzah, and also can become chametz, chidva, and the same five that one is chayav to take challah off of, the Mishnah in challah, wheat, spelt, oats, barley and rye, as they're usually assumed to be those five. And other than that, it's not matzah, it's not chametz, and nothing to worry about. You're allowed to eat rice and corn and all other non-five grains. Midaraisa. But already in the days of the Rishonim, a very ancient custom, at least 900 years old, the Rishonim, the Baalei HaTosfos, the Smak, already had the minhag of not eating kitnios on Pesach. Why is that? For one of two reasons. Number one, Marisayan people, if you make a cornbread, that people might see, oh, bread is bread, it might get mixed up. Or there could be grains, the kitnios and the wheat were made next to each other, the dagon, and therefore there's a chash that they're intermixed with each other. And that is why the minhag became not to partake of kitnios on Pesach. That's the Ramah, quotes this in Taf Nun Gimel. In Ilchas Pesach, says the Shulchan Aruch, Eilu dvarim sheyotzim mehem yidei chovas matzah, chita se'ora kuspin shibola shu'ol v'shifon, v'aminag likal l'chadchila chitim, l'chadchila t'seik wheat, avalo ba'orez v'shar mine kitnios, v'gam ein abam l'idei chimutz u'mutr l'asos mehem tafshel. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. Says the Ramah, v'yesh osrim, v'aminag ba'ashkenaz l'hachmir, v'ein l'shanos. Right, this is a much older custom than gebrux, than matzah shruya. Right, that is a later custom, a couple hundred years ago. But again, there are hints to it in the Rishonim, but not really. But the kitnios is much older, and that's based on the Rishonim, and it's all quoted in the Baalei HaTosfos, and the Beis Yosef, and the Ramah quotes it right here. So this is, obviously, the Mishnah Berurah here quotes the two different reasons that that we just mentioned. What are the two reasons? Number one, lefamim tivua ma'orav b'mine kinyas v'yefshel levar yafeh v'asul dechimutz kishayofam yivashleim. Number one, that's our Gemara. Our Gemara says the opposite. The kinyas is mixed into the chita, but if it works in one direction, the chara works in the other direction too, and therefore that is a basis for the custom. What exactly is included in kinyas? That is not so clear. Some things everybody includes in kitnios. Pashas, rice, and corn. But other items are very not clear. And what about derivatives of those items that are also not clear? Oil. And there are different minhagim in different places in the world. Right? Cottonseed oil. Other types of oils. Cottonseed and peanuts and I've never met anybody that thinks potatoes are kitnios. Rav Moshe Feisi was asked about that. And the Aruch HaShulchan, kartoffel, right? Binyan kartoffel, potatoes in Yiddish. So he was asked about that. So just one source. Rav Moshe discusses this. Rav Moshe says you have a suffix about kitnios, so you can be makel. Because suffix about a minhag, and especially suffix about a derivative of a minhag, if it's oil, right? Major discussions. What about canola? What about quinoa? This is big discussions in the contemporary poskim. One should ask the local halachic authority about these. But Rav Moshe in a tshuva in Arachayim in Chelek Gimel Simin Samach Gimel, just to give an example, he writes this tshuva in 1966, Chav Dal and Adar 1966, Tavshin Chavav, Beinyin Peanut, Im Yesh Bochshash Isser Minakitnios. right, regarding peanuts and peanut oil. So Rav Moshe was asked, he says, "Bidvar peanut shekasafti shebar bimakomus ochlos of a Pesach." Right, you've seen, the questioner said, "Rav Moshe, I've seen you wrote that peanuts are mutter as akidios," and you, the questioner, "Itama, bitama davar, mishum sheshama sheosin mimenu be'ezet makom, gam kemach, v'gam shama shenizroin besados kishar akidios." Right, you've heard that they make, that they zorea it, and they make flour. Aval yadak foter also shein's inyan klal. Come, Rav Moshe says, you know that that's not really a good svar. Like Rav Moshe puts it on him. He says, you know that it's not a problem. Not every single thing that they make flour, right? They also make potato flour, potato starch. That also kind of looks like a flour. Not everything is included in the Isser. Nobody ever said potatoes are going to be Isser on Pesach. Skip a couple of lines. He says, ein lanu bedaver ela ma shemefurash shenagu lesar v'chein ma sheyadua umefursam, what was known, and you know what they answered. V'gam yishlitin tam. And then he adds, we actually quoted, discussed this last Shabbos. We had a shir about the various types of minhagim. Give the time. The din masha ne'esar b'minhag ha'ein zed davar ha'nesar b'kibas chachamim. Elashin higu asa'am la'achmir. She'lo lecho mina melu. She'yamotzi la'ochlam mibnei ha'ta'amim d'chshash mine dagan she'nis arvu. She'kasha livdok mibnei she'osa k'machim. It wasn't that the Sanhedrin got together and answered this. This was a minhag that was accepted by Klal Yisrael to do because of certain chashashos. Avakim shelo tiknu b'kibbutz chachamim le'achol dvarim sheish b'chashash yisar b'mine dagan uzram shos b'kemach. It wasn't that Chazal got together. Ella shehinhigu shelo le'achol ezaminim lo nesr elaminim shehinhigu. Only those that they said the minhag is about. V'lo sharminim shelo inhigu. They didn't have potatoes. Even if the same reason would apply, doesn't matter. Right, and therefore Moshe says, I don't think it's a problem. Right, whatever is already usher, okay, you can't change that. But this is a minhag of Klal Yisrael. But to add on to the minhag, I don't think you have to. V'lachein gam ha-peanuts lo asru b'harbi makomos od Mikol shekein ubemakom shalek a minag ein lasar ki bedvarim el keelu ein lahachmir ki deisa bechok Yaakov. Then he quotes v'chein reisi shenosnim hechsher al peanut oil aleph of yulamid oil mehai taima. And I've seen that on peanut oil. I've seen hechsherim on this. So again, this could apply to a number of the items also that were not around then. Quinoa and sesame maybe and canola, right? The liftis as it's called. Either way, so this is a different minhagim. And even in Chutz La'aretz and Eretz Yisrael, there are various minhagim, what is included in kidneys, what not. But either way, this comes from this first line of Rav Katina. So here we go. So Katina says that the Tidofis in the Mishnah is talking about not dirt, but kidneys. Says the Gemara Bafuris Lo. So what do you mean? No dirt? There's no an accepted amount of dirt that the buyer accepts. V'yama Rabba Bar Chia K'tosva'a Mishmei de Rabba Boret Srar Migrano Shal Chaveira. What happens if, for whatever reason, I go to my friend's Goren and I start separating the pebbles out from his pile of Tua? Gore, so I'm being Borer. I'm taking the pebbles out. Boret Srar Migrano Shal Chaveira. No sin lo de mechitim. I have to pay him. I have to pay him for doing that. I was mazik him. Why was I mazik him? Because if he sells a certain amount of grain, it's acceptable that there'll be some pebbles in there. Now that you have separated out the pebbles, he's going to have to sell pure grain. That's going to be a lot more money for him. And therefore, you've been mazik him. No sin lo de mechitim. Right? You've caused him a problem. You have to pay the mechitim. Question mark. We'll get back to that in a second. But you see from there that there's an acceptable amount that is included. So how could Rav Katina say that only kidneys are included? You see from here that even pebbles. Answer, kidneys, rova, afuris, pachos mi rova. Kidneys, so that's what the Mishnah says, a rova hakav, that's what's accepted. Dirt, less than that. stir less than that. That's what Rav Katina means. He just means, what's the rova? The rova is the kinyas. But yeah, there's less pebbles and dirt. That is what has to be accepted. There's a lot more on the first line, but let's just continue to do a little more first. The afruris rova lo, but what, a dirt, a quarter of a kav of dirt is not acceptable? The atanya hamocha beres lachavero chitim mekabala rova kitnis lasa. Somebody sells wheat, so then he accepts a quarter of a kav of kitnis. Saorim akawalov rova nishovis lasa. Barley, he accepts a rova of nishovis, of straw. Right? Adashim, lentils, makawalov rova afruris lamea. So lentils is a quarter of a kav of dirt. So there you see, says the Gemara. My lav huadin lechitim lusarin. Should we not say that just like lentils, there's a quarter of a kav of afruris? So to the earlier ones, the chiddush was just to say it even by the adashim, but we assume maybe this line is even going on all of the cases that all of them, you have to worry about the dirt, a quarter of a kav. Answer, no. Shani adashim. No, specifically lentils. Specifically lentils. Why? You don't cut them, you rip them out of the ground. And because you rip them out of the ground, there's more dirt on the adashim than there are on the chitim and the saorin. And therefore, only by the adashim is there a quarter of a kav of dirt that's accepted, but by the chita and the saora, we assume it's less. And therefore, there is no kasha on Rav Katina. Says the Gemara, 1 minute. So let's go to the other side. So forget being a kasha, maybe it's a raya. Elataima da adashim demeakar akriluhu. So maybe by lentils, that's where you accept a quarter of a kav because they're ripped out. Avachitis visaari lo. But by wheat and barley, not. So tif show me na. So why don't you prove from there the chitis saari dafru is lomakavel. So now, maybe we should prove that by wheat and barley, a quarter of a kav is not accepted. It has to be less than that. Meaning it's not a kasha, but maybe it could be a raya. The Gemara says, no, it's also not a raya. La'olam chidi v'sari mekabal afuris. It could be that there's also a quarter of a kav accepted there. Aye, so why does the Braisa say only by adashim, by lentils? Adashim itzrichale. Maybe the chiddush would be by adashim. The salkadayta chamina, kiva demeakar akriluhu, yoser meirovanami lekabel. Because they're uprooted, maybe even more than a quarter of a kav would be accepted by adashim. Kamash malan, that no, it's only a quarter of a kav. But that same amount could apply by chita and saora. Lamaisa, it's not a kasha on Rav Katina, and it's not a raya on to Rav Katina either. And either way, it is okay. The Gemara ends that section. Period. Let's go back for a moment to what we said before. When somebody was taking the stones out of his friend's grain, so he's responsible. Question, why don't you just put the stones back before you sell the grain, the chita. So you took the chita. I'm going to sell chita now. You took the stones out, but there's always a certain amount of stones that are acceptable. So I'll put the stones back in. Am I allowed to do that? Says the Rashbam, no. That's maisa biadayim. That you're not allowed to do. It's acceptable if it happens by itself. But to actively put some of these impurities in, that is not allowed. Says the Rashbam on the second line. Avalachzar ula arev eno yachal. No, you can't do it directly because that's actively putting impurities. You're selling grain and you're putting dirt in. Fixiv lo sasu avel. It says in Vayikra Yutes, you cannot do that. Vigam lo keach lo machil elamashidis arev meatzmo imatfua. And not only is it a problem on you, but the buyer wouldn't accept this. If the buyer knew that you were putting it in directly on purpose, he would be very upset. He only accepts what got there by itself. He doesn't expect you to go through the tircha of separating. But if you did, and now you have pure, he doesn't expect you to put it directly back in. Ukshebor hatsrar umash lechutz hezek biadayimu. And therefore, if I'm separating the pebbles and I'm throwing it out, I am damaging you. Sheosan sraros hayolo shaved kemochitim. Because those pebbles were equal for me, like wheat. It's kind of like a dover hagorim lemamon. Because I could have used this in lieu of chitim in those spots. V'inami lo chashivi lehezek gamur demikal makom hein gufan ein hashavin klum. And even though they're not inherently valuable, because if you try to sell dirt or impurities, it's not gonna, you're not gonna be able to sell it. So it's not a hezek gamur, but here's the line. 2 days in a row, we're having this principle. L'chayev mia mishum dina tegarmi. But at least it should be garmi kagon. Asarif shtar osav shal chaveiro, like by burning the star of my friend that says somebody owes him money. V'makadish bekerem, or I mazik your property by having vines go over it. Right? We had the back on daf base in this pesachta. Vazarei kilayim basada chadera, or I plant kilayim in your field. Because in all of those cases, you know, it's some type of garmi. Right, and then the Gemara, the Rashbam continues, Ugraba ben Izakan, the Kaimel and the Pater. What about Grama? Meaning, the Rashbam is asking the question here that all the Rishonim ask. What's the difference between Grama and Garmi? I'm saying here that that's Garmi. You're being mazik your friend. You're removing, by removing the pebbles, that's Garmi, and you should be chayiv for that. How is that different than Grama being indirect? So again, this is what we said yesterday, but now we'll see some of the definitions. Because the Rashbam here discusses, what's the difference between Grama and Garmi? Says the Gemara, says the Rashbam, Ugrama b'nizokin, the kaimel and the putter, hainu, shaleach asabir, b'yad cherishot of a katan. Shahezik, what's that case? If I give a match, if I give something burning to a cherishot of a katan, to a lav bardas, and then he goes in his mazik. So that's Grama. Or other items that we had in the second parak. What's the cutoff? Here's the Rashbam's definition. Shahahezek nikar. The damage is clear. Right, I rip up your shtar, the damage is clear, but that's garmi. But here, if I, you know, do something indirectly, you know, I put a ladder, you know, next to the edge of my property, and then my animal jumps on my ladder and then goes into your field and eats the fruit. That's grama. So the damage is clear. Your fruit were eaten. Aval eino osa oso biyadayim. But I'm not actively doing it. El goreim achshav sheyavo hezek memela la'achar zman. I am doing something at T1 to cause a damage to happen at T2. So the Rashbam has two elements if you try to put his formulation together. Number one seems to be an maisa element. Is it a direct act of hezek or not a direct act of hezek? Number two, time lag. That's what he has in there. Avodina de garmi biyadayim umazik elashena hezek nikar. Ironically, garmi, there's something not nikar. It's your chayav on garmi, your pater on grama, according to some Rishonim, your chayav on garmi. But, ironically, the hezek is not as recognizable and clear. The maisa hezek is not as clear by garmi, even though you're going to be chayav. Here, I rip up your shtar that says Reuben owes you $1,000. Okay, but, so I didn't damage $1,000, but I ripped up a shtar that says you owe $1,000. So that's why garmi, ironically, the hezek is not as clear, even though, you are going to be chayav in that case. That is the Rashbam's, chilek. What else, other Rishonim, for the shach and choshe mishpat, shin pei vav. Some other Rishonim have different chilukim. We've mentioned the Ramban. You can't not mention Garmi without mentioning this Ramban. The Ramban and the Kutras Din of the Garmi. The Ramban writes in one formulation. I'll read that. I'll say. Vazeh atam l'chol elu. The Ramban there goes through every case in Shas. That's why he needs a whole Kutras for it of Grama and Garmi. So it's a fascinating discussions that the Ramban has. Says the Ramban. He says klal gadol yeh biyadcha. This is the klal. Kol hagorim umachmas gramaso bahezik. She'efshar ela ba'oso hezek. Number one, it is vadai. It is for sure going to happen. Efshar ela ba'oso hezek. Number two, ve'eno tali b'das acherim. There is no other ingredient or cause of this hezek. Ela b'shosha goram boha hezek. And then he says, and there's no time lag. Oshehu asid lavo, or even if there is a time lag, kegon zechayev b'meir. That's garmi. So the Ramban is a little different. He says, even if there's a time lag, it could be garmi. But he says, there's vade gonna happen, and there's no other ingredient, there's no other cause. That's the Ramban's, and then he goes through all of the cases of grum and garmi. Just one other, the Meiri. The Meiri there in Baba Kama, in one place, in Daf, in the beginning of the sixth parak, where all of this comes up. He says, shekol shekavanaso lahazik, va'al yodo levad nasa hezik. Sounds like the Ramban, Hugdina de Garmi, Kigon Sarashtarasa Shochavero, the Kosha Ein Kavanaso Lahazik, Osha Kavanaso Lahazik, Ella Sheish Misayela Oso Anezek, Hugramabizakin. So he's like the Ramban, but he also puts in Kavana Lahazik and Ein Kavana Lahazik. Kavana Lahazik is also a part of the Garmi and Ein Kavanaso Lahazik. Right? I'm putting my ladder at the end of my fence. That's not Garmi. That's going to be Grama. That is the Meiri. Some Rishonim, though, as we've noted, do not think there's a chilek between Grama and Garmi. It sounds, you read the Gemara never puts Grama and Garmi together. It sounds like it's two different contexts. Grama is pater and garmi is chayiv. That's what it sounds like. But some Rishonim say otherwise. If you remember Tosfos, back on Daf Chav Beis, if you look back for a minute, Tosfos Chav Beis Mabeis quoted the Ritzbah. The Ritzbah holds that we hold that Dina de garmi is chayiv, midrabanan. Meaning on a Daraisa level, Grama is pater. Grama is pater on a Daraisa level, garmi is chayiv, midrabanan. There's no chilukim. If you look at the Rambam might hold this in Ilchos Chov Lamazik and Perek Zion. The Rambam has a perek all about Grama and Garmi, and he says that if it's indirect, you're going to be putter. The Rambam does not mention a chiluk between Grama and Garmi. That's in Hilchos Chov Lamazik, Perek Zion, Halacha Zion. He says, Kol hagorim lahazik mamon chaveiro, chayiv l'shalim, mezak shalim, minayaf Hashem l'chosav. Rambam holds Grama, but he's not going to be chayiv, possibly. Right? If anybody causes hezek to their friend, they're chayiv to pay. Kishar hamazikin. Avo b'sheinu hu hamazik zeh hanezek atzvo b'achron. Even though he's not the exclusive mazik, hova hu hagorim arishon chayiv. Because he's the gorim arishon. And then he continues and says, v'chein, 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 v'chein. He quotes all the cases of Grama and Garmi, v'chein, v'chein. He quotes all of this in the seventh parak. The Ravid doesn't like it. The Ravid says, no, one's Garmi, one's Grama. But the Rambam maybe holds like that Ritzbah. One other Rishon who says it Beferish is a Ravan. We don't mention the Ravan too often. The Ravan, one of the less known Rishonim. The Ravan in Baba Kama, in Simcha Beis. I'll read you his Lashon. The Ravan says, V'kiva de dainina dina de garmi, azli luhu kula petiri de rabba. Since we don't dina de garmi, then all the peturim don't apply. And then he says it Beferish. V'chein kol makom shetimsa betalmud, grama benizakin patur, aliba demanda lo da'in dina de garmi. Whenever we say Grama Nizakin is Pater, that's according to the one. It does not darshan Garmi, does not hold Garmi Yischayev, Vikulu Batzlu. Okay, that's the Ravan in Simon Chafalef in Baba Kama. Okay, we continue. So we get into that, though, from this Rashbam, who says, if I actively would put stones into my grain before I sell it, so that would be a problem. He doesn't accept that, and that would be a Maisa Hezek Biadayim of Garmi. Just one final, just keep in mind, whenever Garmi comes up, I always like to mention this, I heard this from my Rebbe of Rosenzweig, all the sugis that overlap. So Garmi, one always has to know, Garmi, Dover, Hagorim, Lamamon, and Hezek Sheino Nikar. Those are three sugis that overlap, and many times, items are quoted, topics are quoted within other topics, like right here. The Rashbam gets into Hezek Sheino Nikar and Hezek Nikar in the sugya of Garmi. And this is clearly an idea, reminds us of Dover Hagorim Lamamon, something that inherently is not worth something, but if I don't have it, I'm going to have to pay for it. Right, an ox, the Gemara talks about a Shor HaNiskal. A Shomer has an ox that becomes a Shor HaNiskal. So he can return the ox and say, HaReisha Chol Fanecha to the owner. But if the ox is stolen, so then that's a Hezek to him. Because, you know, the item wasn't inherently worth something to me. It's Aser Bahanah, but I could use it. So that's also related to this item as well. Okay, that is all part one of the daf. Next, part two. I didn't get into the Shach. The Shach has a two-page Shach all about that he thinks everybody holds like Rashi and the Ritzvah that Garmi is only Chayim Midi Rabbanan. We don't have time to go read it now, but it's a classic Shach where he quotes the first 10 Shitas that say Garmi is Daraisa, and then he'll quote 35 Shitas that prove his point that Garmi is Rabbanan. That's the Shach in Shin Pei Vav, Sif Katan Aleph, there in Choshen Mishpat. Okay, but first let's continue. Amar Rav Huna says, Rav Huna, Imbalanafos, if a person wants to sift. If he wants to sift it. Minafes kulo. What does that mean? Rashbam. Second wide line. Imba lokeach. Lahakpid betinofes. What if the buyer is makpid on all this inferior items? Dinira be'enav sheishbo tinofes yosem erova. It seems to him that there's more than a rova. Right? What's acceptable? A rova. He gets it and he starts looking around. He's like, I think there's more than the acceptable amount. And he starts looking around. And he wants to be sifted to see how much is in here. And let's say he sifts it and he finds more than a rova. So what's the halacha? Imbalanafos, menafes kulo. If he finds it's more than a rova, then the seller has to pay him for the entire amount, not just the amount of the difference between the rova and what was more than a rova. A rova is acceptable. But once you put in more than a rova, you, the seller, into your property, so into your grain that you're selling, then he's allowed to check and go all the way down and you have to pay for everything. not just the amount that was more than what was acceptable. That's the Chiddush of Rav Huna. Right, that's the Manafes Kulo. Ami Lei Dina v'Ami Lei Knasa. Some say this is a Me'ikar Hadin, and some say it's just a Knas. It's a punishment. Ami Lei Dina. Some say it's a Din. Ma, what does that mean? The Gemara explains. Mandi Avzuze Aper Shapiri Yahiv. Really, when a person buys the Tfua, he's paying for only the Tfua. In a theoretical world, he would love to have not to have any impurities. He would love for it to be pure. But you know what? It's not worth his while to be, and he knows it's not worth your while to have such tircha to separate. Verova lo tarech inish. And he knows that you're not going to be tareach to separate, and therefore he accepts it. Deep down he doesn't want to accept it. But you know what? He accepts it because he's not tareach for it. But yoser me rova, but more than a rova, tarech inish. More than a rova, that's a lot of impurities. So I would get that out. V'kiven de tarach tarach pekule. And once he, Nehir the lokech, shows that he's willing to be tarach, because it's more than a rova, that he's not, once he starts the tircha and he starts sifting, he might as well finish it. It's not so much more of a tircha once he started. And therefore, me'ikar adin, it's a din that he has to pay everything, and not just the knas, because really fundamentally he wouldn't want to accept anything. V'yamri lo knas, and others say no, it's a fine, and therefore rova shchiach yoser lo shchiach. It's common that a rova of the tinofas is in there and not more. The ihu da ariv, and therefore if there's more, we have to assume that the guy actively put in more, because why would there be more when you just take your grain out of your silo? There's not more than a rova of a kav in here of tinofes. If there's more, it must be you're trying to pull a fast one. And therefore, v'kiven to arev, because that's what we assume. Kansur rabbanon v'kulei, the rabbanon find him for all of them. So that is the shita of Rav Huna. Rav Huna says if he sifts and he finds more, then the seller has to pay for all of it. 2 days in the Gemara, is that based on din? Is that based on knas? The Rashbam here quotes a nafkamina. What happens if you know it was memela? You know the guy didn't do it on purpose, but it was more than a kaf, more than a rova of a kaf. The Rashbam says, if it's a fine, there's not going to be any fine here. He didn't do anything wrong. You know for sure that it was memela. He didn't put it in. He wasn't ma'arevit. So if it's a din, then the Rav Huna's din applies. Because, you know, I'm not mocha more than that. But if it's a fine, then even more than a rova hakav would be acceptable. That is what the Rashbam says is the nafgamina between din and knas. The nafgamina, about the 10th line or so, 10th wide line, diyadinan beidelo arib afilu tfeimi rova havi mechila v'kana lokech v'haino diika beidina l'knasa. The Ran cannot fathom that. The Ran says, no. That's not the nafgamina. Even if it's more than a rova, then nobody. Even if you didn't do it on purpose, it's got to be another nafgamina. That's what the Ran says here. He argues on the Rashbam. He cannot accept that fact that he would accept more than a rova of a kav. V'lo mechover devada avagav de'yu lo arev less le'lokeach lekabel el a rova to be yeser me rova kapen inish shem lo tomar kein v'chi lo kapti lo'olam. Is there no shear? So he comes up with another nafgamina, which is not for us now. Okay, but either way, that's the Rashbam. If he's moda, that what? If he's moda, that he did it on purpose. I'm saying, so then he, for sure, the Rashbam would say in both cases there, it would not be acceptable. But he's saying that if he knows that he didn't do it, that would be enough for me to go to the Rashbam. Okay. Either way, let's continue. Says the Gemara Simon, called Trey Shtare, Draven Barav Nachman, Onova Kabanusa. Okay, that's the Simon. Meisve, so we're going to try to ask Kashas or bring Rayas to Rav Huna. Meisve, Kolsa, Ashish Barov, Ami Minecha, Acher. Now we're talking about a Mishnah Meseches Kilayim. So we know Kilayim, you know, a lot of plant different items within each other. What if there's a little bit of something in a field of something else? So that's okay, if it's only a little bit. Says the Mishnah, Kol sa'a, sheish barova, as long as there's a quarter in the field of a sa'a, mimin acher, if there is a rova, you have to lessen that. That's too much. That's already going to be a problem. You have to be, minimize it. Savrua de rova de kilayim, ki yosem rova de hacha. So what are we comparing? You see there, a rova is too much. So rova bakilayim, we're going to say, is equal to more than a rova, in our case, because in our case, more than a rova is too much. More than a rova of tinofes is too much, just like over there in bakilayim, a rova is too much. So we compare a rova there to a yosem rova here. Vikatani, and what do you see? It says, yema'it. It says, you have to lessen it. What do you mean? Rav Huna says you have to get rid of the whole thing. Right? Rav Huna says, if there's a problem, you gotta get rid of everything. See, here too, if there's too much of the other's zera in the kelayim, so once you have to get rid of some of it, you should have to get rid of all of it. Parallel to Rav Huna. Answer, lamat lo. Rova de kelayim ki rova de hachadami. No, we compare. A rova of kelayim is like a rova here. And in a chinami, if it was more than a rova of kelayim, you'd have to get rid of the whole thing. According to Rav Huna. So then if it's true that only more than a rova is also the problem by kelayim, so then why do you even have to be mayit by rova? If only more than a rova is a problem. Mishum chumrat de kelayim. The stringency of kelayim, even though me'ikar adin, you shouldn't have to remove it, but the chumrat of kelayim, where goes there? Says the Gemara, yihachi, if that's true, eima seifa. What about the next line in the Mishnah there in kelayim? Rav Yossi omer yavur. Rav Yossi says, no, you gotta get everything out. If it's a rova, you have to get everything out. So, amar bishlama, if you understood like we understood originally, ki yoser me rova tinofes dami, that our rova is like more than a rova over there, right? Or rova over there is like more than a rova here. Bahakamithli, then you understand. Meaning, if the case by kilayim is a case where it's too much kilayim ikir adin, then you understand the machlokas. You have to take out a little bit or everything. Tanakama Savar Lo Kansina Hetera Atu Isura. The Tanakama Sahama says we don't find Heter Atu Isura. Just take out the amount that is too much, and once you get to less, then the rest can be batel. Rabbi Yossi Savar Kansina. Rabbi Yossi says no. You have to define it. Aval I Amrit Karova Dami. But if you say that everybody agrees that by Kilayim the case is a rova of kelayim is like a rova in our case, meaning it should be acceptable. You're just taking it out mishum chumra. So am I yover? Why should you have to just? Why should there be a machlokes? And Rabbi Yossi says you can take out everything. It's like a double chumra then. It's a chumra bichlal to take any out, and it's a chumra that has to take out everything. So nobody would say that. So Sigmar's answer is no. Hasam hainu taima de Rabbi Yossi mishum demechzi ki mekayim kelayim. Rabbi Yossi says no, because once you have to take some out, even if it's a chumrah, then it can't be you're going to leave any in there. Because then it looks like as if you're leaving your field nizra with kilayim. That is the chiddush. So again, really, you're right, it's a chumrah al gabi chumrah. But here, the isra of kilayim isn't just to plant kilayim, but it's to be mekayim kilayim in my field. And therefore, only by kilayim, once I start removing, I got to remove everything. That's the halacha, that's the chumra of Rabbi Yossi, so therefore, it's not akasha on Rav Huna, and we explain the shita of Rabbi Yossi. There is an important Rambam. The Rambam, again, kilayim is a major topic, but there is a Rambam. The Rambam, when the Rambam quotes this, what happens if you don't remove the rova hakav by kilayim? The Rambam says, Malkus. How do you get Malkus? Isn't it an issue of Maris Ayin Durabanan? You're gonna get Malkus for this? The Rambam says when the Rambam quotes this in Perek Beis of Hilchas Kelayim, Zerish and Asari vo Zera Acher, Imhaya Echon Michav Dalad Ariza Osir Lazurasa Meurav Ashiyamait, Vim Zara Loke. You're Loke if you have this amount. What are you talking about? Ask the Achronim, ask the Mishnas Yavetz in Yaradeah, ask the Torah Zrayim, Rav Pramanchik on Kelayim. He says, you know what you see from here? And he quotes other rais to this as well, which we don't have time to go through. The yesod of kilayim, even on a doraisa level, is marasayin. Kilayim isn't about the iser zriya. At least kilay zrayim we're talking about. Kilay akera might be something else. But at least by kilay zrayim. The yesod of kilay zrayim is, does it look like kilayim? If it doesn't look like, it's not an issue of yinika, of nourishment, that the different items are getting nourished from the same ground. That's not a problem. I'll bring you another raya. Remember the Perek Gimel, I think. What is he quoted? Bei Zayin. He quotes Rosh Tor, Chitim, Nichlas, Bishol, Zroyim. Let's say you have a whole field of Zroyim, and then right next to it, you have wheat and vegetables, and you have the wheat, but the wheat field is shaped like a triangle. So only the point of the wheat field is next to the other field. The Mishnah says that's okay. Because it's clearly, you look at it, you take a satellite view, you take an aerial view of this, you see it's two different fields. This one comes to a point, it ends, and the other one's a separate field. Why? It still shares yinika in the ground. The answer is, because Eruv, how it looks, That's the yisod of kilayim, of kilay zrayim. And that's why the Rambam could say, if it looks like kilayim, you're going to get malchus for it. If it doesn't look like kilayim, you're not going to get malchus. This is a context which Maris Ayin is daraisa. Ikir time, I'm reading the Torah zrayim. Ikir time at the haidinahu, apida mavur bahar mimakomos, b'mesechazu, de ikir yisodina de kilay zrayim, talui b'maris ha'ayin. V'hayni kol zriya sheiz ba'ir buvya, lefi maris ha'ayin, asura mishim kilay zrayim. Avalim ein the issue is not joint yanika, joint nourishment from the ground. The issue is, does it look like kilayim? If it looks like a mixture, so then that's a problem on a daraisa level. And that's how the Rambam could say, in our case, you're going to get malchus if you don't remove what you're supposed to remove. And that might also be Rabbi Yossi over here. That's why you have to take it out, because if you leave it, so then it's going to look like you're being mekayim a field of kilayim. Okay, we continue. Tashma, another Mishnah. Again, we're trying to ask or bring a ride to Rav Huna. Rav Huna said that once I find that you went above the limit, you got to remove everything. Got to remove everything. Basically, kind of like a formulation of you have to remove the heter along with the isser. So two other kashas we'll try to get through today. Tashma, so we had kilayim, and now we're going to have b'metzia, and then we're going to have a context of shmira and then ribis. Here we go. Tashma, shtayim shivkidu etzel echad. Two people, remember the Mishnah, two people gave a third party to wash something. Zeman of Zemasayim. One person gave him 100, one person gave him 200. He doesn't remember who gave him who. And they eat, who gave what, and each one says, I gave the 200. Ze'omer masayim shali, ze'omer masayim shali. So what's the halacha? So nosin lezemana lezemana. So you give each of them 100, because each one of them for sure has 100. Fahashar yehemuna chachiyavu elio. And the other 100, you have to wait. Question. Well, a minute, according to Rav Huna, you should put everything, it's one package. Once you're going to put 100 away, you should put everything away. Right? Isn't it a package deal? So Gemara said, no, there's a difference. Hachiyashta, wait a minute. Tasam vade mana lamar mana lamar. Over there, each one of them for sure gets 100. So that's why you give them each 100. Hacha miyemar delav kule eruve ariv. And here, he might have mixed the whole thing in. Right? You're saying, oh, only take off the extra. Maybe he mixed the whole thing in. And therefore, our context could be more chamor. And now the opposite. Tosh by me sefer. What about the next sheet in the Mishnah? Amar Rabbi Yossi, imkein maya hefsed ramai. What do you mean? Says Rabbi Yossi, if you give back 100 to each and just put away the extra 100, then the ramai, the one who wanted a trick, isn't losing anything. It's not going to motivate him not to do it again. Ela hakol yehimunach hashev aliyo. No, you put everything away. So that's why the ramai is going to lose his 100. He's not going to try it in the first place. So what do you see from there? A riot to Rav Huna. Isn't that a riot to Rav Huna? Just like Rav Huna says in our case, pay back for everything. So the Gemara said, no, that's also not a raya. Hachi ashta hasam vada igar amai. Over there, there's for sure a ramai. That's why you have to put it away. Everything. Hacha miyemar da ruvei arif. Here, who says he did anything wrong? Maybe it just happened. So therefore, it's not a kasha, and it's not a raya. Good. Tashma, last context. Tashma, says the Gemara, shtar sheishba ribis. What happens if I have a shtar that there's ribis is signed on it, right? Somebody borrows money with interest. Remeir says, you not only cannot collect the interest, you can't even collect the principal. Wow, so this sounds like a kasha on Rav Huna. Just like Rav Huna says in our context, you're kones. So to hear, Remeir says, you're kones. The Gemara says again, hachi asha, wait a minute. Hasam, there is worse. Mishas ksiva hu david leishuma. You already did the avera when you signed the shtar. It's done. Here again, who says he did anything wrong? Sefer is not a parallel case. Tosh Rabbi Sefer, what about the Chachamim who argue? Chacham Omrim, no, go bez akarim, no, go bez aribis. Chacham say, no, you can't be go for the Karen. Kashan Rafuna. So Gemara says, no, hachi hashta. So in each of these cases, it could be better, it could be worse. So it's not a kasha, it's not a raya. Hachi hashta hasam vade karna de terehu. Over there, the principal is the principal. That wasn't affected. That for sure should be paid back. Who says there, by our case, he didn't mix in the whole thing. Maybe he did. And therefore, it's a different case. So it's not a kasha on Rav Huna, and it's not a riot to Rav Huna. There is a lot of action on this discussion of the shtar sheish baribis, as we had this back in Baba Kama, and we had this elsewhere. But there's a lot going on here in this case. Tosfos talks about what if the loveh is modeh. Even if the lov is mode, he can't pay back the principal, according to Rabbi Meir. Right? Why do we fine the one who gives the ribbis, not the one who pays the ribbis? Right, that's not fair. Right, Rav Meir says we fine him, and we don't even allow him to collect the ribis. But the one who's paid the lobis also does the Avera. Right, so why do we, Tosfos asks, why do we only fine one, we only fine the Malveh, and we don't fine the Loveh? Right, that's the, isn't that somewhat not fair? Right, so that's what the, Achronim, discussed here, in terms of Lumdis. How do we solve that problem if we're trying to fine, maybe he should at least pay half. Or not. Just quote the Sholem Meshiv writes in one tshuva, we find the mafsid because once we find the malveh, not the mafsid. If we find the malveh, because once we say the malveh can't collect, so basically the shtar is batel. If the shtar is batel, so then what? Then the lova didn't borrow with interest. Then they didn't do anything wrong. So therefore, that's why we have to find the malveh and not find the loveh in that case. That's one answer how it could be done. Or number two, if we find the malveh, then he's not going to do it again. Well, we're going to find the loveh what, to pay? That's exactly what he wants to do. So he'll do it again. So that's why it's the malveh and not the loveh. Number one. Number two, the other great sugya here is Tosis, Dimas of the Chachamim. The Chachamim say you could collect the keren and not the, you could collect the principal, just not the interest. But aren't the Eidim psulim? Right, the Mishnah says at the end of Ezeon Neshech that the Edom are also pasul. So how is the shtar kosher at all? It's a shtar pasul, right? The Edom did an avera, right? That's a Tosis. A Tosis quotes a couple of answers. Maybe people, the Edom don't think they're doing anything wrong. So even though they are doing something wrong, so they're not pasul Edis. Like the Gemara says in the beginning of Bava Metzia about gambling or losach mode. The Rama says it in the Shulchan Aruch about gambling. But the people don't. If you don't think that you're doing something wrong, it's an avera. But we're not going to be puzzled to aid us because of it. That's Tosfos' answer. The Ksos in Simen Nun Beis, the Ksos says, well, maybe they only become puzzled once they do it. So meaning after the first time. Just like the Rishonim explained the Mishnah Maseches Chulin. If somebody shechs on Shabbos, Shechitas Ukshera. Ask the Rishonim, ask Tosfos, but he's a Mumar. He shechted on Shabbos. How is the Shechita Ukshera? So the Rishonim, some Rishonim say, he only becomes a Mumar after he did the Shechita. So this first one's okay. So here too, he just became an aid puzzle, but this first star is okay. Again, there's other answers, but we'll have to stop here. Okay, we'll stop by Toshma, four lines from the bottom of the Shem. We will continue here in the sixth parak of Maseches Bava Basra. Okay, we'll stop here.